TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
It is Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with our Wolves insider, Danny Cunningham.
Insider?
Yeah.
I'm on the inside now?
Wolves reporter? Wow. Insider?
Insider.
What do we call you?
I don't know. I've never been called an insider
before. What's your official title?
I'm honored.
What's your official title?
I don't know.
You don't, don't know?
Not entirely.
You don't know what your official title
is? Hey, man, as long as the paychecks come through, I'm good.
Like, what did you put on your Twitter bio?
I think it says I cover the Wolves.
Okay. He covers the Wolves for Score North. You can find his work at scorenorth.com.
Yeah, I cover the Wolves in the NBA for at Score North.
There you go. That's what he does.
Not quite on the inside, but I'm honored that you think I am.
I mean, I think you're on the inside, aren't you?
I'm getting there.
You got
I'm working towards getting
there. You got
to the
people
inside.
In there.
I'm like saying hi to people.
I'm going to call you insider.
Thank you.
No problem.
I'm honored.
And today we're going to go through the off-season decisions that the Wolves have to make. And not the front office decisions. They're looking for a president of basketball operations right now.
Pretty big decision, though.
That's a big decision, but we're going to pretend that we got that job. That Danny and I are co-presidents of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
If that happens, I will be on the inside.
Then you're technically very much an insider.
I am the core, essentially.
Right, then you are the inside.
Yes.
Essentially, yeah. So we want to go through more so the player moves that they'll have this year and the guys who are on this roster and who they'll have decisions to make about this coming offseason. And it starts, at least for me, and yes, I have a little bit of bias in this, but what they do with the Timberwolves. And Danny, they can be free and clear of all three of them if they want, right? No salary,
yes,
ramifications whatsoever.
All three are unrestricted free agents. They could never play another game for the Wolves, and it would cost the Wolves absolutely nothing for that to happen.
All right. So what do we do with the Timberwolves? Do we let them all walk? Do we need any of these guys next year?
The Derrick Rose situation, I think, is the most complicated of the three. I like Luol Deng. I think Luol Deng is probably the most likely to be back of the three. But I think the Derrick Rose situation is the most complicated of the three because your point guard situation is kind of a mess. Yes, Jeff Teague opted into his $19 million player option for the next season, but I wouldn't be opposed to looking into dealing him this summer. I think that might make some sense. And Jared Bayless is also an unrestricted free agent. He will likely be gone. And Tyus Jones is a restricted free agent. So of your four point guards, one's re-upped already, and the other three are all a free agent of some sort.
And did Jones, he picked up his option already, didn't he?
No. Teague did.
Teague did. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, Tyus Jones is a restricted free agent, so as of July 1st, he can talk to other teams. Other teams can offer him a contract. He could sign an offer sheet, and it might be out of the range the Wolves are comfortable paying for him, and that's something you have to consider. And I think the price with Derrick Rose is going to be interesting. If you can get him again for the minimum, then yeah, you should be interested. But paying more than that, it's tough for me because yes, he was good when he was on the floor. But he's not on the floor enough.
Right.
You can't count on him.
And a lot of people think that what we saw in the first 30 games or so in terms of his shooting, and especially from the three-point line, was unsustainable. And it looked like it was unsustainable.
Well, it proved to be.
Right.
I mean, I remember him making, I think, one three-pointer from February until the end of the season. Now, granted, his season ended early because of his elbow injury that he had to have surgery on, but he stopped being able to shoot from the outside the way he could early in the season. A big reason why he was so good in that first half is he was shooting above 45% from three. Teams had to close out on him unlike they've ever had to before in his entire career. And even he said that. He said that teams have never respected his outside shooting the way that they did this year because he had never been able to do it. I mean, this season he ended up shooting 37% from three, and that includes a terrible second half of his season, and that's still by far the highest he's ever shot from three, by 3 percentage points. The next highest was when he played 10 games for Chicago in 2013-14. He shot 34%.
Yeah, that's not going to do it.
No, it won't.
But unless you go out and get somebody, and even if you do go out and get somebody who can score, who do you have to complement Karl-Anthony Towns on the offensive side of the floor right now? Who can put it in the hoop?
It's That's a tough question.
Exactly.
Because so Andrew Wiggins doesn't show up enough, which we know.
Exactly.
That's news to nobody. Robert Covington compliments him really well, but Robert Covington needs to be healthy, which the hope is that he will be 100% and we'll all be able to forget about what happened this in 2019, really, because he hasn't played since New Year's Eve. So the hope is that he'll be back to what the Wolves expected they were getting from him when they made that trade. And the early returns were great. It was just once he was hurt, obviously mm-hmm. he wasn't the same, and then he missed the last 40 games.
Right.
So that matters too.
Yeah, that's... So are we letting all three of them walk? We need to make a decision here. Or are we keeping D-Rose? It sounds like D-Rose is the one guy we're considering keeping.
I would keep Lou Alding, actually.
Oh,
I think Lou Alding is the most likely to be back. I think that, one, he proved he can still play. You'll be able to get him relatively cheap. I cannot imagine a team offering him more than the minimum, which for him is around $2.4 million next year, I believe. And I think that even if he's not a huge presence on the court, he does a lot for that locker room and a lot in terms of leadership and teaching guys the right way to play, and I think that's very valuable in today's NBA.
So we're bringing back Lou Alding.
We are
the
bringing
three
Timberwolves
back, are bringing back Lou Alding.
Lou Alding is coming back. Taj Gibson will be out of their price range, I think. I think someone will overpay for him.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is you can maybe try Kata Bates-Diop at the four a little bit. You can play smaller with Robert Covington at the four at times. So maybe that's not as vital as a position. And the hope is that you can feature Dario Saric, and he can prove to be your future at that position. So you maybe Taj becomes more expendable. And I think that the Wolves might be better off having someone they can count on at point guard on a nightly basis rather than Derrick Rose, who, I mean, only played in 51 games. You can't afford to have a guy that misses 31 games be that big of a part of your offense.
All right, so we're bringing back Lou Alding. That's
yes,
what we're
Lou
doing
Alding
with
returns.
The Timberwolves. All right.
Which was, I mean, clearly the most likely scenario ever.
Okay. I can get down with that. I want D Rose back, but some of that is selfishly. I just enjoy.
I understand that
Chicago guy. I have ties to him. I have loyalties to him. I like watching him play. I like being here and seeing him in 82 games a year. Well, the 50 that
that's
he plays,
the
but right
because if Derrick Rose could give you what he gave you this year and played in all 82 games,
then it's no question.
Well, the question is
could
he out of your price range?
Could you afford him?
Your question,
right?
Your question's not, well, should we bring him back? Is he good enough? Blah blah blah. It's can we afford him then? Now it's how much do we want to invest in this guy that when he does play is a big part of our offense, but he doesn't play enough. And when a guy is that big of a part of your offense misses so much time, it disrupts your offense.
Right.
So it's subtraction when he's gone. Not necessarily because of how good he is, but because of how much he means to you and how much you have to build your offense around him because of the style he plays.
All right, let's look outside and see how we can improve this Wolves team. Now, from what I understand and from reading Johnny Gay's article at The Athletic, they have the mid-level exception to work with this
yes.
offseason, do they not?
They do.
And he named some players that could be potential targets with that mid-level exception, including, and it's... We're not sure if these guys will sign for the mid-level exception. It depends how the rest of the market plays out. But the first two names he brings up, and I think these guys are probably out of the price range, but Danny Green and Nikolai Mirotic. If you can bring Mirotic in and put him next to Karl Anthony Towns and have two big guys who can shoot it from the outside, I like the way that looks. I think that fits where the NBA is going. But I just don't know if you can fit Nikolai Mirotic under that mid-level exception. I think somebody will pay him more than that.
See, I disagree. I think that I would rather have Danny Green there. Because
really?
Part of the Wolves' problem is that all of their best shooters are front court players. If you look at their back court players, they're not good outside shooters. And Derrick Rose in this situation is gone.
Right.
But Jeff Teague's not a relatively good three-point shooter. Tyus Jones did not have a good year shooting from three. Josh Okogie was not a good three-point shooter. Andrew Wiggins has not been a good three-point shooter. So I just named all of the backcourt rotation players, and none of them are good at three-pointers.
Well, let me name some perimeter players then who also are brought up.
That's why I'm in very enticed by Danny Green because,
yeah.
One, he can be that 3-and-D wing, two-guard guy. He's one of the best three-point shooters around. I think he finished third in three-point percentage in the NBA this past season. So if you can add that, and he's a very reliable defender. So now your backcourt actually becomes formidable. And instead of having 85% of your offensive output come from the front court, there might be a little bit more balance there, at least a threat, if nothing else.
If you can't land Danny Green, if he's out of the range of the mid-level exception, other names out there might be Tyreke Evans, Jeremy Lamb, Reggie Bullock. Wayne Ellington, Terrence Ross, any of those guys do anything for you? Those are perimeter guys who can shoot it.
Terrence Ross a little bit, and Jeremy Lamb, I think his best moment ever was the half-court buzzer beater to beat the Raptors this season. Tyreke Evans didn't have a very good year. You could probably get him for less than the mid-level, so that in that case you could split your mid-level up a little bit and try and allocate it a couple different places. That's interesting. The Tyreke Evans is interesting just because he didn't have a good year. He didn't have the year that everyone expected him to have after what he did last season in Memphis. When he was in Indiana, he hasn't been quite that good. That interests me because you might be betting on a guy to have a bounce back season.
Right.
Jeremy Lamb doesn't really interest me. Who else did you name?
Reggie Bullock. Wayne Ellington.
Wayne Ellington. I like Wayne Ellington. I think he's a relatively reliable shooter. I think he's another guy that could add to that backcourt void that's there offensively.
And then we need to decide what we're going to do with that draft pick. And obviously, we don't know exactly who will be there,
Zion.
Danny. Obviously, Zion Williamson is the guy you want with that draft pick. Chances are they won't have a chance at him, though. What I'm looking for more so here than a specific player, because, again, until the lottery is had, and we'll have a live watch party at scorenorth.com and all our social media platforms when the lottery is held, but... what kind of player is it? Is this the same as what we were talking about in free agency? A perimeter guy who can shoot it, space out the floor a little bit?
This feels like such a loaded question because we don't know where they're picking.
Right.
And that matters.
Right.
Because if they're picking one, it's what kind of player? Oh, it is
Zion Williamson. Right. It's that kind of player.
If they're picking two, you're probably debating between Ja Morant, point guard from Murray State, mm-hmm. who is not the Zion Williamson type of player, and RJ Barrett, who... is kind of the hope is that he's what everyone thought Wiggins would be.
Right.
That's the hope for him.
Right.
Except he's left-handed. So it depends but if you're picking at 10, where you are likely to pick.
Is that just best player available?
It might be. You might look for some front court help. I know we just talked about the void in the backcourt, but I think that after probably the top four or five guys, it's a very front court heavy draft in terms of depth. Yes, Kobe White from North Carolina would be potentially a guy at 10 that's a point guard from that could help, but I'm not sure how sold I am on him. I do know the one name I've heard a lot about, not necessarily as someone they're interested in, just because it's so far away and they don't know where they're picking, so it's hard to have that. But a guy that a lot of people think will be a successful NBA player is Brandon Clark from Gonzaga, the power forward. I think he'd be an excellent fit next to Cat because he can shoot the ball well. He'll be a plus defender in the NBA. He's someone that you would ideally pair with Cat in the front court. And this could be seen as a negative, but he's already 22 years old, and he'll be 23 before he ever plays an NBA game. Yeah, that's not great because you don't know how much higher his ceiling is, but he should be able to contribute much more, much quicker.
Right.
Sooner, I guess.
Much quicker?
Yeah, much quicker.
Quicker.
There we go.
I don't think quicker is a word. Right.
So that's something that should entice you. If you can get someone that you can draft, plug and play, and have a high amount of success early on, you should be happy.
Okay. So I think we've pretty much gone over the major personnel decisions that the Wolves will have to make this offseason. And this is what we're left with as far as a roster, Danny. Now, it's not a full roster, but this is what we're left with until you fill in the holes. Towns, Saric, Wiggins, Gorgui Dieng, Covington, Teague, probably Tyus Jones. We brought back Luol Deng.
Yes, we did.
We signed a perimeter shooter, and we took the best player available, probably a front court guy, given where they're likely to end up in the lottery. So that's 10 guys. Is that a team that can talk about playoffs next year with those 10 guys?
I mean, they can talk about it. I don't know how likely it is that they're playing a year from now, but they can talk about it all they want. They can talk about the playoffs right
now. Can we realistically talk about the playoffs?
About the playoffs.
If those 10 guys are making up 10 of your 12 roster spots, active roster spots.
Yes, because I do think we'll see a little bit of a step forward again from Carl.
Right.
And that matters when he's your best player and probably a top 10 talent in the league. Getting more out of him is only going to get you closer and closer. I think he needs to take another step defensively, which he did do this year. And then it's going to depend what you get from Andrew Wiggins. That's really the X factor, which is silly to say about a former number one overall pick, but he's the X factor.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, until I see it, I just assume that you're not going to get the value of the number one pick or the value of that contract ever from Andrew Wiggins.
I think those ships have sailed.
Yeah.
but just getting something more out of him is vital.
I've given up hope that he can be good enough to be part of a big three, even the third guy in a big three, until I see otherwise.
I think he could potentially be a third guy, maybe. But again, his usage rate's too high to be a third guy.
Right.
That's where the problem lies.
Right. All right. So we've fixed the Wolves. We got them to the playoffs.
Okay, I don't know about that.
We got them to the playoffs. We might have got them to the playoffs.
Do you even really want to be an 8 seed, though?
No, I don't.
Do you want to be what Detroit's going through right now?
No, I'd rather another lottery pick.
Yes.
If my choices are 8 seed or a lottery pick, I'd rather another lottery pick.
Yeah.
And I don't see how they do enough this offseason to be better than an 8 seed next year.
That's the toughest part. Like, do you want to be where the Clippers are right now? And I realize, yes, the Clippers are tied 1-1 with the Warriors because they came back from down 31.
What the Clippers have that I don't see in the Wolves' foreseeable future, and I could be wrong about this, correct me if I'm wrong, is, yes, they're the 8 seed. No, they're not going to win that series, but they have a lot of money coming off the books this year and are going to go chase some big-name free agents.
They're going to have two max slots this summer.
So that's one thing that the Clippers have going for them that the Wolves don't.
That's
and
a
won't
big deal.
Anytime soon, thanks to Andrew Wiggins.
And Gorgie. I feel like the Gorgie contract just gets forgotten about because Andrews is so bad. It does. Like, Gorgie's, prior to this year, Gorgie's contract was looked at as an albatross.
Right.
And then Andrew had the year that he had, and it's like, we kind of all forgot about how bad that contract is for Gorgie.
I don't know about you. That's kind of how I go about my life in the workplace. Like, just make sure I'm not the worst guy there, and so people are not paying attention to me. They're paying attention to the guy who's way more overpaid than I am. As long as there's somebody way more overpaid than me, I feel like I'm secure in my position.
So are you saying that you're overpaid?
As long as there's somebody who's way more overpaid than me, I'm secure in my position.
So, I mean, this is kind of a funny stat here, but this season, Gorgie Jang made $15.1 million, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you know how many minutes he averaged per game?
I'm going to say 15 minutes per game.
13.6. He made $15 million for playing less than 15 minutes a game.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah. not a lot of wear and tear. Not a lot of wear and tear on the body.
All right, real quick, before we wrap this up, you brought up an interesting NBA playoffs idea to me before we crack these mics open. What is it?
Yeah, so I found this on Twitter. Pat Muldowney, who works for The Ringer, tweeted this out, said that the first round of the NBA playoffs should remain a best of seven series. But there's a caveat.
Okay.
If a team takes a 3-0 lead in the series, it's over. It's like a mercy rule of sorts. I think this is a fantastic idea. I would absolutely love that. Do I really need a game four between Detroit and Milwaukee this year?
We don't, no.
And it'll never happen because of money.
Right. It's a predetermined outcome. But I'll say this. I already don't get enough NBA playoffs because of the way that it's scheduled and the way that they space out these games. There's no reason that there should be a night where there are no NBA playoff games, period.
I mean, there's not a night like that until the conference finals.
Right. But it just shouldn't happen. And
at that point, there's only two series going on.
Yeah. I still think that the NBA playoffs...
Do you want them to play every night during the finals?
I would like the NBA playoffs to be more condensed and for me to have more games to watch. If that were the case, I'd say, okay, yeah, let's knock out a game.
I mean, there's three games every night.
Is there three games every night? Are you sure about that?
During the first round, just about, yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'm just too focused on
certain two.
Series.
At least two, if not three.
Watch. Okay.
Like last night, there were three games. You had Boston and Indiana. You had Milwaukee and Detroit, which no one watched. And then you had the Houston-Utah series. I can't bring myself to watch any of that Milwaukee-Detroit series. I can't do it. Especially with Blake Griffin out. What is there to gain by me watching that?
Not much.
There's nothing.
There's really not much.
There is zero things I can learn from watching that series. And truthfully, I'm not even going to be entertained by the Bucks just beating the Pistons to a pulp.
I wouldn't be mad if they did it. I'd be okay with them doing it. But I'm also okay with having more NBA to watch, even if it's blowouts and series that are already predetermined.
Let's say Houston wins game four against Utah, or game three against Utah in Utah by 20 points again, which they've done in the first two games. Do we really need another game? And it gives more of a – I think it would put more focus into teams. It would inject more focus into teams because how often do we see teams that get up 3-0 and you know, maybe they screw around and lose that fourth game. But if they win the first two, there's such an emphasis to win that third game because they get more rest.
Right.
And they get more time off. And right. that's what these teams all want this time of the year.
I'd be okay with it, but I'm also okay with the way it is now. And me having more games to watch.
I love the idea of making it a three-game mercy.
I do like what you're saying about this incentivizing guys on both sides, because mm-hmm. you don't want to go down 2-0 if you're the underdog, and you really want that extra rest and to close it out in three games if you're the favorite. So,
and the argument against it is, well, that's maybe is that too much of a home court advantage, other than the money argument, which is the reason why this would never happen. It is a home court advantage, but the higher seed earned that. That's why you play the regular season games. The right. higher seed has earned that.
Right.
And most of the time, you're not going to see it in a 4-5 matchup. How many 4-5 matchups do we see that go up 3-0?
Right.
Not many.
Right.
That you'll see it a lot in 1-8s and 2-7s, which if you are a 1 seed and you want to get done earlier, take care of your business like the Milwaukee Bucks will, and you're fine.
Right.
That I think it's a terrific idea.
I don't know about terrific. I'm okay.
Outstanding.
I'm okay with it.
Fantastic.
If you want to go there.
Amazing.
You can go there.
Awesome.
That's Danny Cunningham, our outstanding, fantastic, amazing Wolves insider.
You forgot awesome.
Find awesome Wolves insider. You can find his work at scorenorth.com. I'm Rami Makhlouf. This has been Raised by Wolves. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next time.